Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hello, everybody. It is Saturday in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. My name is Adam Bittner, assistant sports editor for multimedia at the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Back for our weekly Steelers mock draft video with Ray Fittipaldo, our Steelers insider. Ray, I've been pretty sick for most of the week, but I'm excited to talk some mock drafting with you. You just did your seven-round Steelers mock draft that's on postgazette.com. We're going to get into that. We're also going to get into the normal mock draft tracker chat that we do every week, compiling all the picks from around the internet. So how are you, Ray?
I'm doing good, and we're now, 48 days, 49 days away from the first day of the draft, Adam, so it's getting here pretty quick. Last week, I was in Indianapolis at the Combine, and we got the owners' meetings in about a week, and then before you know it, pre-draft visits and full-on draft season will be here, so it's a fun time of the year.
Yes, in a busy time, I think the interest is really going to ramp up. So excited to kind of get all this work we've been doing for the past couple months, start to let it shine. We starting to know these prospects, starting to really get our boards put together. It should be a lot of fun. We're going to talk specifically about the center position and how it fits into the Steelers draft needs. Before we do, just want to thank our sponsor for this episode and every episode of the Steelers Mock Draft Tracker video, Pella Windows and Doors of Pittsburgh. There's no better place to get new windows and doors installed in your home than Pella, who can help you save on energy costs year-round. Schedule a free in-home consultation with your local Pella Windows and Doors to find the right product for your home and budget. Give them a call at 866-593-1560 to discuss your project further. That's 866-593-1560 to get started planning on your new windows and doors installation with Pella Windows and Doors of Pittsburgh. Ray, we're going to get to your mock in a minute, but there's a couple that I think highlight why I like yours, I think, a little bit more than some of them that are out there that I want to start with. There was a couple multi-round mocks this week that had Jackson Powers Johnson at the top, and then kind of uninspiring second-round choices. One was Kingsley Suamataia from BYU, and then Penn State's Kalen King. And let's just start with tackle. How much of a drop-off in talent how much does that concern you? Because Lance Zierlein had Suamataia ranked ninth among tackles, but really didn't have him rated as a likely starter or anything, like what I think the Steelers would need to possibly replace Dan Moore Jr. How do you look at that in balancing a prospect you might really like with Jackson Powers Johnson with what might be available if you go that direction?
Yeah, I mean, you have to remember, Adam, there are many draft analysts who have many different opinions on things. And I'm very familiar with Lance. He does have maybe a good backup to perhaps a starter grade on Suamataia. But there are others. I know Mel Kiper, at least maybe 2 weeks ago, maybe a month ago, had Suamataia as a late first-round pick. So, again, you have to balance all of these grades and all these analysis, with a grain of salt, because they're all going to be different. But to your point, I do think there's a little bit of a drop off. I think it could be, six to seven tackles drafted in the first round. And then if you would get a guy in the second round, you're probably not getting a plug and play starter for his rookie season. Maybe a guy has to develop a little bit. You have him learn behind a veteran. But whereas you have guys like J.C. Latham, Troy Fautanu, who I mocked to the Steelers, guys like that, if you draft them at number 20 overall, there's a pretty decent shot those guys are going to be able to step in and play right away if not right away, certainly within the first month or so of the season. So you make a good point there, but keep in mind that there are all kinds of different opinions on guys, and the most important opinion is within that Steelers building, and we don't really know what's on their board right now.
Ray, I want to jump off a little bit too on your second-round pick from your seven-round mock draft. I had you had Troy Fautanu as your first-round pick, but you had Zach Frazier as your second-round pick, and he seems to be really popular because of what he allows you to do in the first round and address some of those other needs. When you were compiling your mock draft, is that kind of how you looked at the center position in terms of there's some plug-and-play guys that you might be able to get on day two that allow you to address another need on day one?
Yeah, you certainly could. This is a really good draft for centers, Adam. I think there's maybe eight guys that could be, you know, starters as rookies. So that's really uncommon, and it's a pretty deep draft. And quite honestly, I don't know what that's going to do. You know, theoretically, it could drive down the value of all these guys, Jackson Powers, Johnson included, because you could get a starter on the first or second or even early third round of this draft. So, you know, we'll see what happens there. Frazier is a guy who's been injured. He's really just starting to get in front of people and work out. He was able to do a little bit at the combine, was not 100%. He said he hopes to be 100% by the Big 12's pro day. So, yeah, we'll get a much better idea then about where maybe he's going to go in these mock drafts. I know sometimes you see him late first round. I'm not sure about that. I think given his injury and given the way teams value centers, I think it's more likely that he goes middle of the second round and therefore, you know, would be in the Steelers' range. If they did double down on offensive linemen, Adam, it would be the first time since 2012 that they drafted offensive linemen with the two first picks. So that's something to keep an eye on, too. It's not really out of the ordinary, especially when they're trying to rebuild the trenches like they are now.
Let's get into this cornerback class, too, Ray. I mentioned the Kalen King pick as the second-round pick. He is a guy that I think a lot of Penn State fans who are also Steeler fans might really like, given the work that he did up in Happy Valley. But his 2023 tape was not quite as impressive as what he did in 2022. He's fallen off a lot in the pre-draft process. I think he ran a 4.61 at the combine. I'll be honest with you, Ray. Some of these guys I've seen mocked to the Steelers as second round corners. As much as we talk about how deep this class is, I look at Kalen King, I look at TJ Tampa, Canardo Green's another guy that we've talked about. Could be solid players, but they definitely have their flaws. How do you stack up the corner class when we're talking about, you know, if they don't get a guy in the first round, if they go with a Jackson Powers Johnson, what's going to be available to them?
Yeah, I mean, listen, if you want to draft a corner at number 20, you would get that outside corner who has plug-and-play potential. But as you go deeper into the draft, and I'm not sure who had Kalen King going to the Steelers, but there's no way he's getting drafted in the second round. I could tell you that right now. He's more of a day three type of a prospect. And you're right about that. He was much better with Joey Porter Jr. than he was last season when he was – not by himself, but when he was with a lesser player. So I think if you go after a corner, say at number 51 or at number 84, I think you're much more likely to get an outside corner project, a guy who's not ready to start right away, or you could get like plug and play potential with a slot corner. And slot corner is something they need on this team as well. You know, Chandon Sullivan, I thought was solid last year, but he's not signed. He's a free agent once again. So if they don't bring Sullivan back, you need a slot corner to fit into your defense too. And I think that's where the value is for the Steelers. Get that slot corner, if not at number 51, then at number 84 in the third round.
I want to ask you a little bit about Kalen King before we wrap up on that point. You mentioned he's probably not a second round guy. That was Luke Easterling on Sports Illustrated. He does a lot of four round mocks. That's who had him going in the second round. I was surprised as well, Ray, just given, you know, what we've heard about him. But as you get into the later rounds, does it matter to you at all that he played well with Joey Porter specifically at Penn State and was a well-regarded draft prospect, I think, going into 2023, do you look at him on day three and say, hey, if he's still there with his experience, maybe he would work with Joey Porter as kind of a Robin to his Batman?
Yeah, I mean, listen, not everything translates from college to the pros when you're talking about chemistry and guys playing well together. So I would say likely not. I think what works against King right now is he's coming off a subpar season. And you mentioned he didn't test well at the combine, and he wasn't really a standout at the Senior Bowl either. So, you know, where he was looking at maybe – I was at the Senior Bowl, Adam. I was thinking, okay, maybe third round, fourth round. I mean, but now with those testing numbers, I think he's probably stuck, you know, somewhere in the fourth round, maybe even lower now. So that's unfortunate for King, but, you know, that's why they have this process. Teams get to – evaluate you and test you and all that good stuff, and he hasn't really come through looking all that great so far.
Yeah, I think he's gonna have to show some things at Penn State's pro day. Just thought that's an interesting conversation because obviously it's a close to home, you know, and then you have Joey Porter here in Pittsburgh, so it makes you wonder how that fit could work out. Ray, I mentioned I want to get into Troy Faitanu as your first round pick in your 7-round mock draft. I think going into the combine, there were concerns about his size, but I've seen a few people, you know, kind of say, no, he can play tackle in the NFL. Why don't you expand a little bit more on what you liked about him, you know, in Indy and why you see him as a fit for this offensive line?
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Yeah, so listen, he's probably the most versatile player, offensive lineman in this class. He can actually play center, guard, or tackle. And his most experience comes at tackle, and he did very well in college. But there are a lot of people who feel like with his body type that he could slide inside and be a dominant guard too. So really, I think teams are going to have a choice. There will be teams that say, okay, you're a guard, and then there will be other teams that will look at the combine and look at his footwork in those position drills and look at what he ran in the 40. I don't have the numbers in front of me. I think he was like a 5.04, something like that. He did really well in all the testing too. But the most important part of this, when he was in those drills, he was so smooth. I mean, his footwork was elite. I think a lot of people came away from that saying, okay, maybe we do try him at tackle. So for the Steelers right now, I think there's a need at right tackle. He's a plug-and-play guy at right tackle. But you also have options with him down the road. James Daniels is in the last year of his contract. If they don't re-sign James Daniels, and I don't think they will at this point, they're going to need a guard in 2025. And obviously Troy Faitanu, given his versatility, you know, could be in play there depending on how he does as a rookie.
I want to ask you this question, Ray, just because you mentioned center is something he could do. Do you look at him as a viable option there for the Steelers in 2024 at all? Or do you look at that as maybe a possible Kendrick Green situation where he's just not quite as good because he doesn't have the experience there? How do you evaluate how he could possibly fill that need?
Yeah, I mean, there would be a reluctance there for me to try him at center, but I'm just saying he's such a good athlete that he could do that. So, you know, most of the conversation has been about him going from tackle to guard. So I wouldn't really see him as an option at center. You don't really want to take on that project. And I'm guessing the Steelers, after the Kendrick Green experiment, probably don't want to do that either.
Yeah, I think that's a concern for a lot of people. Just quickly on center before I want to move into some of these corners and some of your later round picks. How big do you feel the drop-off is from Jackson Powers Johnson to the Fraziers and Van Prans of the world? Is it as steep as it sometimes looks like in these mock drafts? Or because you said this is a deep class, these guys could all be picked in the third round. Do you say that you could do pretty well with them?
Yeah, I think it's closer than people realize. I think Powers Johnson is ahead of the game at this point because he had a really good Senior Bowl week. Zach Frazier couldn't take part down there, so he did team interviews and stuff, but he did not do anything physically on the field. And Graham Barton from Duke, same situation. He didn't go to the Senior Bowl. He simply chose to say, okay, I'm going to show what I can do at the Combine. So I think Powers Johnson got on the map early. I still think he's the leader, but I think Barton is a good shot to go late first, early second round. Frazier, I think, second round. And then there's all kinds of guys that could be late second, third round guys. Van Pran from Georgia is one of them. Bo Limmer from Arkansas had a tremendous combine. Some of the numbers he posted were ridiculous. I mean, he put up 39 reps on the bench press, most among all offensive linemen there. And then he had the best vertical leap too. So that guy, is going to be somebody who's on some people's radars as well. But I think, after Frazier, then I think we're getting into late second, maybe third round. And I think there's all kinds of guys that will be in the mix in the third round as well.
Quickly on Bo Limmer, he's someone we've mentioned a couple of times on this video, I think, with Brian and Chris. I don't know that I've gotten your thoughts on him. He's another one that I don't believe has a ton of experience at the position. Is that another example of where you say, listen, he tested well. There's reason to think that he could fit as opposed to, Kendrick Green?
Yeah, I mean, listen, you have to have confidence in your coaching when you're getting a guy with limited experience out of position. So you have to believe that the coaches you have in place can get that done. And, the Steelers believe in their offensive line coaches. So I don't think that would be a big sticking point. And you got to do all your homework on this guy and get to know him, talk to his college coaches. Okay, is he smart enough to make that move? Can he make the calls in the NFL? Is he strong enough to hold the line of scrimmage? So, all of that stuff, certainly comes into play. But this is the time of year. Listen, a lot of guys are projections. It's just not guards, going to center. It's defensive linemen trying to be outside linebackers. It's corners who are trying to be safeties in the NFL or vice versa. So there's always projections within the draft. And that's why teams spend so much money on scouts in the pre-draft process. They're out at these colleges during the fall. They're doing all their homework, and then they're writing up these reports, and they're letting the GMs and the personnel guys know what's going on.
I'm going to get into some of Ray's later picks and some corners here. Before we do, just want to thank another sponsor, Pitt Johnstown. It's a Pitt quality education with up close and personal learning, a top ranked Northeast public college by U.S. News and World Report. Generous scholarships and financial aid are available, located on 655 picturesque acres with easy access to the city center, including shopping and dining. It's a vibrant campus life with an active D2 athlete community. Check out Pitt Johnstown today. Ray, I'll start the corner section with this. You had Max Melton as your third round cornerback. He's from Rutgers. What do you like about him, specifically in the context of what we were talking about earlier with, if you're going to go corner on day two rather than day one, what does he offer compared to maybe some of those first round guys we talk about?
Yeah, so he's not one of these 6 foot, 6'1" long cornerbacks in the mold of a Joey Porter Jr., but he actually does have some flexibility. If you did want to try him outside, he could do that. But most people think, he's probably a better fit inside in the pros. And like we talked about, Adam, that's kind of what you're going to get like in the third round. I think there are good corners available, but for the value, if you're in the slot, you're not playing every single down. So for the value, sometimes good football players like that drop until early mid third round. So that's kind of how that works. My first mock, I had Michigan's Mike Sammers still in that spot at number 84. I just think that's the sweet spot for the Steelers getting a slot corner in this draft. Maybe they surprise, maybe they take one in the first, maybe they get one at 51, but I kind of think it's probably going to be more of like a third round possibility there with the corners, at least right now. That's what I'm gathering from all my research and talking to people.
Nate Wiggins is a name we've talked about a lot. I think the big concern that you and Chris and the guys who put together our Post-Gazette big board had about him going into the combine was his speed. He spit out a 4.28 So pretty great speed there, Ray. What do you think about him now knowing that, that he can post a number like that?
Yeah, I mean, obviously he's athletic enough. He's fast enough. He's got the deep speed. My concern with Wiggins right now is his frame. He's a 173, and you got to be able to hold up in the run game if you're going to play cornerback for the Steelers. So that's probably the biggest concern that I have about him right now. But again, you know, a lot of times rookies coming in, they need that 24/7 professional mentality. They need to get into a weight room. It's different from college in that regard. Some of these guys can come in and, you know, they can gain a lot of good strength and good weight in only 6 months or a year's time. So obviously a really good player. I don't think he gets out of the first round, but, you know, we'll see if the Steelers or another team takes him in the low 20s.
Terrion Arnold's another name I saw a couple of times this week. When we did our first mock draft tracker way back before the Super Bowl, I believe, he didn't fare, or he was more of a top 10 pick and did not seem like he was going to fall to the Steelers. But I think his draft stock seems to have softened, not a ton, but enough that it's now conceivable that he could maybe fall to the Steelers at number 20. What are your thoughts on him now that he's maybe re-entering the fray as a potential option for them?
Yeah, so you mentioned guys running 4.28s and all that. Arnold didn't do that. You know, he ran okay, but he was very, very much middle of the pack in what he ran the 40 in. But he probably has the best tape of anyone. You know, he played for Lou Saban at Alabama. You know, he was really good there. So I think he's a guy who's probably not going to put up great numbers, and you'll probably look at him and say, what's so special about him? But then when you watch him on tape, you're like, okay, yeah, this guy can play. So I would still be surprised if he falls to 20. I still think he's probably a guy who's top 15-ish, maybe top 18-ish. But, hey, we'll see. You know, sometimes, you know, we saw last year Brian Branch from Alabama, you know, fell. People thought he was going to be, you know, a first-round pick. He didn't go until, I think, early second round. So sometimes that happens. But I still think Terrion Arnold is a really good football player. And if he does fall to 20, depending on where he is on their board, I certainly think he'll be in consideration for the Steelers and a lot of other teams at that juncture of the draft.
Yeah, Lance Zierlein, we mentioned him earlier, has Terrion Arnold is first among cornerbacks with in terms of production. His athleticism, for the reasons you mentioned, Ray, ranks a little bit lower, but you know, the actual this is what he's got on tape is number one. So if a player's like that's available at number 20, I think it definitely merits serious consideration. Ray, let's get into your later round picks here in your 7-round mock draft. You had Luke McCaffrey, who's the receiver from Rice. Jordan McGee, the inside linebacker, Tyke Smith from Georgia, safety, and Torrey Taylor, the punter from Iowa. I believe I talked with, was it you I talked about the punter with last time you were on here?
I think I had him mocked to the Steelers in the 6th round of my first mock draft. So I just can't get away from the Steelers taking a good punter. So I included him again, but every time I do these mocks, Adam, somebody puts in the comments, don't draft a punter, don't do it. So we'll see what happens.
What stands out to you about those other guys, Ray, in terms of how they could fit as late-round picks for this team?
Yeah, listen, I think the Steelers need a number three receiver. You know, they haven't cut Allen Robinson yet. You know, I think they will before Monday. So, you know, Luke McCaffrey is a guy who didn't start out great in his college career. Originally recruited to Nebraska, then transferred to Rice. But once he got to Rice, he was really good. I mean, he put up great numbers down there. And what I like about him is the bloodlines. And, you know, his dad was a really good receiver. Obviously, his brother Christian is the best running back in the NFL right now. So, you know, I think guys like that, even if he doesn't profile as the same type of athlete as his brother, I think having a strong family connection to the NFL certainly helps guys like that. So I think he's a guy who's probably going to get picked on day three, and I think he could be in range there when the Steelers pick at 119 and 120. And I also, you know, McGee's another guy who would be in that range. You know, the Steelers need an inside linebacker. You know, what we learned last week from Omar Khan, they don't know when Cole Holcomb's going to be back. So I think you don't want to go into this draft needing to draft a starter, like a guy. You don't want to spend a pick in the second round on a guy who may or may not pan out. So they're probably going to get a guy in free agency and then, hey, get a guy in the middle of rounds like McGee, develop him, see what he can do down the road. He's not somebody that you have to plug and play as a rookie.
And can I get your thoughts on Tyke Smith real quick?
Yeah, he's a transfer from West Virginia. Really good player at Georgia. His one season down there. Tested well at the combine. So he's not the biggest guy in the world, but kind of same as inside linebacker. I mean, the Steelers released Keanu Neal earlier this week. So they need a starting safety. Could it be Tyke Smith? Could it be a free agent? Yeah, it could be both. But I certainly think they're going to acquire at least two players this spring at safety, likely one in free agency and likely one in the draft as well. They were very focused on safeties out in Indianapolis.
Ray, any trends standing out to you in some of the other mock drafts that you read? I think the thing that's standing out to me is that there's not a ton going on at receiver and defensive line, even though we talk about those positions a lot. Any thoughts on that? I guess number one and number two, what you've noticed in some of the trends that have been coming and going here.
Yeah, I mean, I think what I'm hearing is just reaffirming what was being said late in the season and in January, just as we were kicking this off. Really, really good offensive line class. Very deep at center, very deep at tackle. So you know that. Defensive line, by contrast, you got one or two guys who might go in the first round, but it's not a great draft for front seven guys. There's a little bit of depth there, like second, third round. Guys like Chris Jenkins, could be there. But I don't think if you're the Steelers, you're not going into this draft thinking you're going to get an impact defensive lineman. So, we've been talking about it again. Corners, it's a good class. Receivers, you're going to have like three guys in the top 10, but there's also guys that you can get late first, second, even third round. Guys who can come in, maybe not be number one receivers, but guys who can be number twos, number threes. And that's what the Steelers need. The Steelers don't need like a Marvin Harrison Jr. They need a guy who can come in, be a solid number three, maybe a number four as a rookie, and develop, because Deontay Johnson is in the last year of his contract. So, if you get drafted by the Steelers this year, let's say Roman Wilson out of Michigan, he doesn't have to come in and put up numbers as a rookie, but that's a guy who can develop and potentially be a number two to George Pickens down the road.
Yeah, I like the way you expanded on that, Ray. I mean, for me, it's definitely not about the top end either. It's more about, can you make this group a little bit deeper and have more serious options on the field than you did last season? So that's why it's surprising to me that I have not seen a bunch of receivers. But I guess a lot of, maybe more national pundits don't perceive that as a need the way you and I do on a more local level. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out. Ray, that's all I got for you this week. Thanks for stopping by. Ray, I believe you're also on the Friday edition of the North Shore Drive with Christopher Carter. So if you missed that, you enjoyed what you heard from Ray today, check out the video. Make sure you subscribe to the channel so you don't miss any of our draft content. We're going to have a lot of Penguins trade deadline talk coming up this weekend as well. So make sure you are signed up for that. Please like this video if you enjoyed it. Help us out in the YouTube algorithm. Ray, thanks for stopping by. I can't wait to talk to you again soon.
Sounds good, Adam. Appreciate it.
Thank you for checking out this content from Post-Gazette Sports. If you watch this video on YouTube, please like the video and subscribe to our channel. For all of the sports coverage the Post-Gazette has to offer, visit post-gazette.com.